ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Colossians, and we're in chapter 4. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. We're in chapter 4 of Colossians today, which is a long time in coming, it would seem. But I am grateful for this study personally, and I hope you've been edified through it as well. And so what I want to do as we enter into this particular chapter is I want to remind you what the context is for what we are seeing. This is a letter written to a church in a city called Colossae. It's got four chapters, and the first three chapters deal with a number of issues that you and I need to personalize. Because what's happening is that in our day, we have a lot of things that are coming against you and me. There's a lot of solicitations to false doctrine. The enemy, sometimes we find to be other religious organizations. They're trying to get us to believe a certain way, and as a result of that, we have to ask ourselves if, in fact, it squares with Scripture on every hand. But if you would remind yourself of where we've been, I would suggest to you that what happened in chapter 1 is that Paul taught some lofty truths expositionally. Lofty truths, indeed. I mean, things that scale the heights, things that boggle the mind. One of the things he taught was that we needed to know how to increase in the knowledge of God, because they were getting all caught up in this desire for a deeper experience, a better understanding of the angelic host. They were beginning to worship angels and so forth, and it was wrong. And so he says, listen, you need to get your focus back on what is true. You can have a personal experience of God in your own life. So the first thing he taught in chapter 1 was how to increase in the knowledge of God. I'm not going to go back and talk about how, but he taught us how, and that is in verse 10 of chapter 1. Then he taught us the significance of our position in Christ, and that's in verse 13 and 14. And the next thing he taught was the preeminence and uniqueness of Christ, how that he was the firstborn of all creation. And it staggers the mind to see how he told us that Jesus was the prototokos. And we're not going into that again, but it was lofty truth. Truth not found elsewhere, but elsewhere complemented, nevertheless. He also taught us about the immutability of our standing, and that's in verse 22 of chapter 1. I'm so glad my standing in Christ is immutable, which means it's unchangeable. He saved me, and He positions me before the Father as holy, blameless, and without reproach. That's a huge deal. That's where I stand today, and it's an immutable standing. And what God wants to do now is to present me and you to our world. And then another thing that he taught in chapter 1 is the importance of presenting the mystery of this dispensation. It's summed up in a word when it says that it is Christ in you, the hope of glory. As Gentile people, we receive the baton of testimony. When Israel, you know, they fumbled the ball, they're going to be back. But for right now, they're on the shelf. A blindness has happened in Israel, and there's a veil over their eyes. But right now, you and I are front and center. And it's Christ in you, the hope of glory, that He wants to present to the world. He wants the world to know they can be saved. And His number one, exhibit A, is you and me, to show them it's possible. So we try to get it right so that they can find the light. In chapter 2, we would see that He admonished them to proceed cautiously. So he taught them lofty truths expositionally in chapter 1, and in chapter 2, he tells them to proceed cautiously. There's actually three things that he says. He says, let no man spoil you. He says, let no man judge you. And he says, let no man beguile you. So those are things that are going on in chapter 2. And he says, this is a dangerous ground down here. And these are not the lost that he's worried about. It's religious entities that existed in their day. So the admonition would be for you and me to proceed cautiously. In chapter 3, he told them how to rein in the flesh practically. Now, that's news you can use. We carry this flesh with us everywhere we go. And what God would have us to do is He would have us rein it in. He talked at the end of chapter 2 about all of those will worship efforts and so forth had no power in the satisfying of the flesh or the satiating of the flesh. You can't satiate the flesh. The flesh just wants more and more. The Bible talks about the eyes of man are never satisfied. It says the wandering of the desire is sin. You know, that's what the flesh does. It's an unruly evil. We talked about how it's as if you and I were given a job at the local zoo and we were told, you know, you're going to be the one who feeds the lions. We have no training in this, but you're feeding the lions. That's your job. You take them in there, a big old piece of meat, and you just, you know, you got to do that. That's your job. Well, I dare say you would proceed very cautiously. So it is with your flesh. We don't have a lot of training on this, so we want to drill into it sometimes again and again in chapter 3 about how to practically rein in the flesh. He talked about seeking those things which are above, those tangible things, I would say. He says, seek those things, because there are real tangible things which are above. Jesus said it in Matthew 6:33. He says, seek ye first the kingdom of God, His righteousness, and all these things down here will be added unto you. He takes care of us. He not only says, seek those tangible things above in chapter 3, He says, set your affection or affectionately desire those tangible things that are above. You know, you can do things by rote, you can do things by duty, you can do things by decision, but He says, you know what, you need to set your affections on things above. Somehow, you need to conjure the knowledge of what's up there. I don't know about you, but I like to understand the why of things. And when I'm reading my Bible, I find that in His presence is fullness of joy, and at His right hand are pleasures forevermore. Hey, count me in. If you're George, man, it's ice cream, okay? There's Ice Cream Boulevard down the road. If some of you just like the leisure breeze of a cool day and the wafting of the fields and the grass, you know, the amber waves of grain kind of feel, it's all going to be there. Anything you could possibly want. Somebody asked me once, Pastor, do you think our dogs and animals will be in heaven? Well, I've seen it somewhere written that all dogs go to heaven, but that's probably not a biblical paradigm. We know this. We know that animals will be there because Jesus is coming back on a white horse. Amen? And He made those animals to be enjoyed. And I believe there will be animals. Whether they will be our animals, I don't know. But I do know this, that nothing that will diminish your joy one iota will be present. So everything to make for your fullness of joy will be there. He is a good God and He knows exactly what it is that makes you happy and makes you sad. And the Bible says there's going to be no more sorrow, no more crying, no more tears, no parting, no more sin. It's all going to be good. Set your affections on that, you know, because if you really are affected by it, it will bless your heart. The Bible says where your treasure is, what? There your heart will be also. It's true, isn't it? It's what we want to have. He also tells us in chapter 3 that we need to be mortifying and putting off and putting on the new, mortifying the deeds of the flesh. How are you going to rein in the flesh? You're going to need to mortify, put to death some things. Put off the old man, put on the new man. And then finally, He tells us in that chapter that we can overcome or rein in the flesh by loving the dispensation that we're in as God has set it forth. Now, that sounds like a lot of words, but really what I'm trying to show you is the word love is there. The bond of perfectness is love, it says in chapter 3, and that's what we aspire to. So it is not without cause that He says, wives submit and husbands love and fathers, be careful at how you treat your children and children obey your parents. Because really, the biggest avenue or theater in which you and I do express this dispensation. Let me break that down for you. The word dispensation is used several times in this particular book. The word literally comes from a Greek word that means house law. You and I are under a new house law down here. In Israel, there was a national house law. They had a time where they were front and center. They were exhibit A of God's power and work in the world. He used Abraham, brought forth Isaac and Jacob, brought forth the Israelites, put them in Egyptian bondage, brought them out with a mighty hand, and throughout history, with a large brush, He told the world He was God. Broke the back of Pharaoh, and exploits were done in Canaan, and subsequently we see Jesus was ultimately brought forth. This is a huge brush that He draws with, if you will, and He puts it on canvas of human history. But they took Him and crucified Him, put Him to death and rejected Him. He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. But to as many as receive Him, to them He gives the right to become the children of God. Now we've dovetailed into the new house law. As Israel's placed on the shelf for a season, you and I are interjected. The new house law is, we are the Gentile people who are here to provoke the Jews to jealousy by our love for Jesus, their Messiah. And we are to be people who demonstrate to the world that Christ is in us and we have the hope of glory. What a good day that's going to be. That's the new house law. Now, how do we reflect that? Husbands and wives, first of all. If you take chapter 5 of Ephesians, you'll see the companion passage to chapter 3 of Colossians. He talks about the husbands and the wives and how their relationship literally is emblematic of Christ and His church. So what we do is we love, which is the bond of perfectness, and we love the dispensation. We say, I'm going to embrace being a wife if I'm a woman. I'm going to embrace being the husband and the head of my home if I'm a man. And I'm going to do it like Jesus would have me do it. And we love it. So He would have us love the dispensation as it's set forth. And He tells us the way to do that is, first of all, through grounding ourselves in the Word. Let the Word of Christ dwell in you richly, He says. And He says also that we need to do it through giving of ourselves in our work. He says, do everything you do to the glory of Christ. And then He says, wives submit and husbands love. Don't be embittered. It's kind of a neat thing. You see the continuum now. It's like you just had a mini book sermon because we've seen those three chapters. But housekeeping was done in the last several verses. It pretty much is the nuts and bolts of the practical expression of how we reign in the flesh. If you do the right thing by your wife, by your husband, by your children, you got a lot to handle. But chapter 4 is where He begins to wind things down. But I am reminded as we dovetail into this chapter of a man who was a seasoned farmer and he made his way into the big city. And he was kind of in awe at all the big buildings, but as he's walking along, he's in this big city, he's in awe of all the things that he's seeing, but he finally finds something he can really appreciate. There were these city workers. And so he kind of leans up against the wall for a second and just steps back and watches them, and these guys are working themselves silly, sweat's dripping down their brow, but man, they are working like a fine-tuned machine. But he's fascinated by their work ethic, but he couldn't figure out what the world they were doing. So he walked up to him and he says, man, you're working hard. This is great. He says, but I really don't understand what you're doing. He says, you're over here digging this hole and you're digging it perfectly round and you're getting down a certain level. And as soon as you're done, this guy over here is throwing the dirt back in. What are you guys doing? Well, the one guy spoke up and he said, the guy who plants the trees, he called in sick today. One guy was digging the hole. The other guy was doing his job filling it in, but nobody was planting a tree. Now my point is this, is not unlike you and me. We might be digging a hole. We might be filling a hole in. But we're not really getting any trees planted. And what I want to suggest to you is that you and I have been digging holes. When we come into chapter 4, He begins to admonish them and He says to them in verse 2, continue in prayer and watch in the same with thanksgiving. With all praying also for us that God would open unto us a door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I also am in bonds, that I may make it manifest as I ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. He's winding it down. What he's saying is he's saying you need to continue in prayer. And the word continue doesn't just mean to continue doing it. It means that if you're going to do what I've told you in the entire first portion of this book, if you're going to continue to mortify the flesh, if you're going to continue to love your wife, if you're going to continue to submit to your husband, it's only going to be through the vehicle of prayer. Because if you're prayerful, you'll have clarity. You know, it's hard to bluff God.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.